This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Psalm 49, verses 1 through 12, is a wisdom psalm, a longer proverb or meditation put to music, providing instruction on the limits of wealth and the limitless love of God. Let us read today's psalm responsively. Listen to this, all you people. Listen closely, all you citizens of the world, people of every kind, rich and poor alike. My mouth speaks wisdom. My heart's meditation is full of insight. Why should I be afraid in times of trouble, when the wrongdoing of my bullies engulfs me? These people who trust in their fortunes and boast of their fantastic wealth. Well, it can save a single person. It can't pay a life's ransom price to God. The price to save someone's life is too high. Wealth will never be enough. No one can live forever without experiencing the pit.
And stupid people do.
All of them leaving their fortunes to others. Their graves are their eternal homes, the place they live for all generations, even if they had counties named after them. Don't live any longer because of wealth. They're just like the animals that pass away.
Today's gospel reading comes from Luke's gospel, the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 21. Listen for the word of God. Someone from the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me as judge or referee between you and your brother?" Then Jesus said to them, "Watch out. Guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when someone is very wealthy." Then he told them a parable. A certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop. He said to himself, "What will I do? I have no place to store my harvest." Then he thought, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones, much bigger ones. That's where I'll store all my grain and goods. I'll say to myself, 'You have stored up plenty of goods, enough for several years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, enjoy yourself.'" But God said to him, "Fool, tonight you will die. Now, who will enjoy and get all the things you have prepared for yourself? This is the way it will be for those who hoard things for themselves and aren't rich towards God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Okay, are there any children who would like to join me up here? Because I don't want to stand here all by myself. Oh, awesome. All righty. How are you guys doing? Good. Okay. How's your summer going? Heard you were at a birthday party yesterday, huh? Yeah. And what comes up next? End of August, what happens? School. Say that with some enthusiasm. School.
School.
There we go. All right. Do you like school? Yeah? Not so much, huh? I always liked it But you always have a big, long list of stuff that mom and dad need to get you for school. You don't? What school do you go to? And they don't give you a list? Oh, okay. All right. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. But do you go and buy anything with your parents? Yeah. What kind of things do you get? Okay. And do you get everything that you want? Or do you get what you need? What you need. Yeah. And sometimes there's a little difference there, isn't there? Because you might want the most expensive backpack that costs $40, and mom and dad know that that $25 one would be just as good. So sometimes we don't always get everything we want, okay? But God always provides for us. He gives us lots of stuff, right? Like what?
Like love.
Love and life. Very good. And he makes sure that somehow you get things like shoes and clothes and school supplies and everything else you need, right? And if you're lucky enough to have like 6 pairs of shoes and 12 pairs of jeans and 19 sweaters or t-shirts, do you need all of that stuff? No. Do you ever have too many clothes or too many? Okay, that's great. Same size, yeah. Does that make you feel good that you can pass your stuff down? Yeah. I had a cousin who was just a little bit older than me, and she had only brothers. So when she outgrew her clothes, I got them. I felt pretty special, okay? But God wants us to share things. When we get a lot of stuff and, you know, he provides, like, you know, whether it's stuff you grow in your garden or t-shirts or whatever, he wants us to share and make sure that everybody has a little something, okay? Because that wouldn't be too good if you had 19 t-shirts and your friend wore the same shirt every day, right? Because they didn't have any more shirts. So God really would like us to share the blessings that he gives to us, that he
sometimes at gas station, there's like this stuff for clothes that you, and then you put it in the stuff that you don't.
Right. The donation things for, Yeah, there's a lot of different things. And we've got one big container right out in the narthex now for the back-to-school supplies for kids who maybe their parents can't afford everything that they need to go to school. They are, but the people that run the back-to-school shop, they make sure that everybody gets a backpack. It might not be the exact one that you want or that, but they make sure that everyone has a backpack that they can put all their supplies in to go to school. Okay. And so I brought something for you guys, and you can kind of decide what you want to do with it. It's a couple of pencils and a couple of candies and a pencil sharpener. You're welcome. You can either keep both those pencils or you can share one and say, here, friend, I gave you that. I'll let you have this because I can't use two at the same time. And you want him to work hard, huh? And you know, sometimes you get such rewards. It makes you feel good. Do you know, when I went into third grade, which was a couple years ago, are you? Yeah, lots of years ago. Oh, he said they had third grade back then. Who does this kid belong to? Okay. When I was in third grade, there was a new girl that came to our class. And for whatever reason, yep, we had first through sixth grade in one room because it was just a little country school. But there was a new girl who was in third grade. And for whatever reason, she didn't come with anything. I don't know why she came to school, but yeah. Okay. All right. Well, so of course, not too far into the day, we were supposed to color something and she didn't have any crayons. So I said, would you like to share, I'll share my crayons with you. And it was kind of funny because the only crayon she took was the black crayon. I don't remember what we were coloring, but she only took the black crayon. And yeah. And now this is like about 63 years ago that we met in third grade, and we have been best friends ever since. So not only did it make me feel good that I could share my crayons with the new kid that didn't have any, but I got a lifetime friend, and that's pretty cool.
That's why on the first day of school, if we have extra stuff, Miss Snell put, if they have extra, they always put it, containers that if we need more stuff, more glue sticks.
That's awesome. Awesome. Okay. So let's say a little prayer together. Dear God, thank you for always meeting our needs and helping to make sure that we have whatever supplies we need, whether it's food and water, if it's a warm place to stay, or if it's supplies for school, clothes or pencils, pens, whatever it is we need. And please help us always remember that you like us to share and pass on your blessings, because that's how the whole world will come to know you better, through the sharing and the passing on of love. And all God's children said, amen.
Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The gospel, according to Luke, has many different verses that can be interpreted as condemning money and wealth and possessions. We've probably all heard different sermons along those lines. In Luke 6:24, Jesus says, "Woe to you who are rich, you've received your consolation." In the 14th chapter, Jesus teaches that to become a disciple, you have to give up everything that you love. And in the 18th chapter, Jesus tells the rich ruler, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Yet, all of these that are about money, wealth, possessions are not really about money, wealth, and possessions. There's something else that's happening, something underlying. These passages, including today's text about this wealthy fool, the rich fool, has something in common with warfarin. Yes, blood thinner, warfarin. Some of you may have heard of that name. Been around a little while. To make the connection between these two, we need to look back to the winter of 1933. The winter of 1933, farmer in northwestern Wisconsin, Ed Carlson, encountered the exact opposite of this rich man in this parable. Instead of having a bountiful crop, this farmer was losing all of his cattle. They were dropping over dead. They were literally bleeding out internally. The veterinarians of the day said, well, it's some sort of vitamin deficiency. And they just kind of said, well, deal with it. Ed wasn't satisfied with that. He thought there's got to be something more. There's something beyond just what we're seeing. So Ed did something about it. Ed drove his truck from way up by the Twin Cities down to Madison, Wisconsin, to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And in the back of his truck, he threw in one of those dead cows, threw in about 100 pounds of this sweet clover that the cows had been eating just before they died. And he went in and he found Carl Link, professor there, research professor at UW-Madison, who understood something about this sweet clover, had an interest in it. He said, here, try to figure out what is the connection. Why are our cows dying? Took about 6 years, but then they found this connection, that there was something in the spoiled sweet clover that caused the cow's blood to not coagulate, to become too thin, and the cows would bleed out and die. And then with some extra funding from the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation, WARF, WARF, they developed a rat poison called warfarin. Yeah, warfarin started out as a rat poison. Caused rats to bleed out, to die. It was a great thing. Now, then, you know, it took a few more years, and about 20 years after Ed made that first trip down to Madison, warfarin was out on the market as a blood thinner in controlled doses, marketed under the brand name of Coumadin. So here there was something deeper, something underlying. It wasn't just what they saw on the surface. That's a connection that I see between Ed's dying cows and this wealthy fool in today's text. Sometimes what we see, what we hear, isn't what's really going on. We need to ask some questions. We need to look a little bit deeper. It happens in our everyday life. Instead of just hearing what someone says initially, we need to pause and set ourselves and our goals and everything that we have going on aside and say, tell me more. What's really going on? What's behind that? There must be something more. In Luke's gospel, Jesus warns time and time again against focusing on the wrong things, including money, wealth, and possessions, especially when we focus on them as being some sort of a security blanket for us. It's a false security. Even money, wealth, possessions being a false security, that's still not really the main point. The good news of the gospel can be framed as finding a healthy sense of security. Health rather than wealth. That healthy sense of security is found in an identity formed in the triune God, knowing that we are children of God, that we are to be celebrating around the greatest banquet table possible. That's what Luke's gospel is all about, is the great banquet. Breaking bread together at a table. Deepening relationships with one another. Throughout Luke's gospel, Jesus tells us that we need to be focusing on something that's more important than anything else. We need to focus on the kingdom of God, how we live that out by loving God and loving our neighbor, rather than loving ourselves and focusing on what we perceive to be our possessions and our sense of security. This parable about the wealthy fool isn't really about money or wealth. Jesus actually doesn't condemn the rich man for his initial wealth. Names it as a fact. He's a rich man. And it isn't until this rich man has this unexpected, bountiful crop that things begin to go wrong. And notice, Jesus doesn't say that this rich man is a great farmer and he did all sorts of great things and he cultivated the crop well and he did all this stuff so that he was prepared for this bountiful harvest. If that were the case, he would have been prepared with enough storage for the entire harvest. You know, the ground the earth. Nature provided this bountiful crop unexpectedly, and he was caught off guard. He was blessed beyond his expectations. And it was in that moment that he got pulled the wrong direction. It's when this wealthy, rich man begins to focus on himself. He said to himself, "What will I do? I have no place to store my harvest. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. That's where I will store all of my grain, all of my goods. I will say to myself, take it easy, eat, drink, enjoy yourself." He doesn't think about anyone else. He doesn't want to share that blessing. He fell into the trap of focusing on the wrong things, just like most of the farmers and the vets with all those bleeding, dying cows. Just like the man in the crowd in our parable who was concerned about getting his own inheritance, getting his fair share. Jesus right then refused to answer the question. He didn't even deal with that one. He's like, "Who am I? I'm not here to decide that for you." Now he reframes it all. It teaches us that we're to engage with a deeper, more important issues, to not get distracted with some of these trivial things that really don't matter. Wealth and possessions are not in and of themselves bad. But at the same time, there's no amount of wealth that can secure our lives with God, that can deepen our faith. Jesus repeatedly warns that wealth can, in fact, get in the way of our relationship with God. It distracts us from seeing a kingdom way of life, and it turns the focus inward on ourselves. So it's all about priorities. It's about who is truly God in our lives, not what is God in our lives. It's about how we invest our lives and all that God has entrusted to us to further God's kingdom. It's about how our lives are fundamentally aligned. Are they aligned thinking about others around us? Or about our individualistic desires? Are they towards God and neighbor, the two greatest commandments that sum up the whole of God's word? Or are they about me, myself, and I? A new false trinity that way too many people worship. Our lives, our possessions, they're not ours. They belong to God. We are merely stewards entrusted with them for whatever time that God has given us on earth. And we don't know how long that is. Time and time again, I hear people make plans for retirement, plans for later in life, and everything changes. We rebel against the truth of Scripture because we want to be in charge. We want to have some sense of control, some sense of security. And it's hard. It's hard to find that sense of security in God when there's something tangible right there in front of us that we can put our hands on. One final note of importance. The lectionary, for some reason, separates this parable from the 10 verses that follow it, even though they are supposed to be connected together. They're intertwined. In the section following this parable, Jesus tells the disciples and reminds us as well that we don't need to worry about our life, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink. We're not to worry about storing up wealth. Because God sees us. God provides for us. Just like God provides for the birds of the air and the flowers in the field. Don't worry about this life. Don't get anxious. Don't get afraid. Instead, shift your focus and place hope in God's kingdom. It's this alternative message about God's faithfulness, God's presence, and being able to have that kingdom view. And that is where Jesus helps us recognize what really underlies our world. Anxiety and the fear of losing what we have. True peace comes in knowing that we are God's and God has us. It's God's pleasure to care for us, to care for the lilies of the field, the animals, and especially those whom he's created in his own image. It's in this shift in perspective that our eyes shift away from navel gazing and look up to the birds, look around to the neighbors, the people God places in our path, to see God's kingdom. To not be worried about the things of this earth and to hold on to all that God has entrusted us a little bit more loosely. Because if we have it tightly clenched, it does no good. But when we hold it loosely, we hold it as an offering back to God to fulfill God's kingdom and to bless those around us. We need to be concerned about our spiritual health more than our worldly wealth, because our spiritual health is the true richness that God wants for us to enjoy. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.